Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Chris Vermeulen. He is the founder and editor of the Technical Traders website. And Chris, I want to start off by focusing on the broad averages and this constant rotation that we have seen within the markets that keeps the markets elevated. But then also, if you're an active trader and you can find some of these sectors that were unloved, say, a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago, and that money starts to rotate into them, then you can ride that wave higher and generate some pretty nice gains in your portfolio. One thing that I think we've been noticing recently is tech has come back onto the radar for a lot of investors. Tech feels like was ignored there for a few months as the rotation was into some of these more economic restart type of plays. But now tech starting to play a little bit more catch up. Hard to call it catch up because tech has done so well. But what's your takeaway from the money that has started to rotate back into the tech sector?
Yeah, so late last week, we saw the tech sector kind of start a new trigger to the upside, a new kind of buy signal for the overall tech sector. I like to look at the XLK ETF as kind of, think of the big box that holds all the little subsectors or industries of different tech inside it. Now, I'm not a huge fan of the big tech sector on its own, but when you break it apart and you look at all these little individual sectors and sector ETFs that carry these unique technology plays inside it, some of them are, you know, screaming to the upside, constantly moving higher, while the general massive tech sector as a whole has been relatively dormant until really just four or five trading sessions ago. I mean, when you look into the tech sector, you look at the EV market continues to be on fire. We're looking at robotics in general are doing very well. There's a lot of innovation tech products. There's an innovation ETF called the symbol is ARKK, A-R-K-K, and it gives you access to some really interesting technology that's kind of coming to market and being created. And there's internet generation ETF that, again, is applying some or giving you access to some very unique companies. So I like these hot pockets, and they're doing very well. You know, you look at our banned hot list, which is the best asset now. It's using relative strength to compare which assets are the best assets and are performing with risk-on characteristics, meaning big money keeps dumping into these sectors and holding positions. The long-term trend, the short-term trends are firmly in place. And when all those things come together, we give it a ranking and it shows up. And so these smaller little tech industries are all near the top of the list, doing very, very well. So I really like when you break the tech apart and you find these hot pockets within it. The overall, you know, when you look at the big tech sector compared to what it's been doing over the last few months, it's up, but it's nothing too significant. Really, a lot of the money's been flowing into the small cap stocks, the industrials, like the Dow Jones, really everybody preparing for, I think, Biden administration, huge infrastructure, and to bring the economy back into full swing. And that's where the money has been going. But we're seeing a shift again now where money's going back to the tech. And we're starting to see that money actually become defensive. They're moving out of those economic stocks, going defensive and actually looking at moving to bonds and utilities as a kind of a defensive play. And that's generally not a good sign for the stock market when you look forward 2 or 3 weeks from now.
It also sounds like the stock market is still, or at least individual investors, still very focused on kind of blue sky potential. I think because we have seen some stocks, even some stocks that fundamentally are pretty weak, we've seen massive price appreciation. So if you can tie in this, I guess, enthusiasm and risk tolerance of investors with some blue sky potential that tech provides, especially the smaller companies, well, that attracts even more money. It kind of builds on itself, doesn't it?
Yes, you get this giant wave of, you know, more and more people wanting it. As more people know about it, you know, more want it. It's just everyone's like fighting over the shares for a lot of these tech companies. They just want in because, yeah, it's got that that unlimited potential, especially if the lockdowns continue to stay in place for a long time. Technology is just such a great way to leverage your money, really.
Yeah, it really has been. And it has been just kind of a consistent win in terms of investors riding tech higher and that whole buy the dip mentality. We do have a lot of tech earnings that have come out this week, but again, people just like tech, and tech has been a strong sector. Now, another sector that we have talked about is more this electric vehicle sector or battery metals. There is still a lot of interest in what could happen, the developments in electric vehicles. I feel like we've been talking about it for a couple of years, but this year, a lot more investment capital has shifted to that direction. Do you think this is sustainable?
Definitely the rate that share prices are appreciating, I don't know if that is actually, sustainable. I mean, some of these like an ETF, HAIL, H-A-I-L, which is an EV market. It went from $16 to $66. It owns a basket of EV stocks, electric mobility stock companies. I mean, these are some pretty insane returns. But I mean, this is also the beginning of a new way of transportation. I mean, if you could buy Ford, when they built their first 100,000 or 5,000 units, if you bought a share price back then, I mean, the appreciation is unbelievable. And that's kind of where the EV market is still. I mean, there's obviously some good footing. It's got lots of coverage, but it is the infancy stage. I mean, you see a couple Teslas pass you a day, but out of the 5,000 cars or 18,000 cars that might roar past, It's only a handful, right? So there's a lot of room for growth for the electrical vehicle market, and that's what people are looking at. I mean, getting in now, I think, is still the beginning of what is going to be the next biggest automobile vehicle in the world. So,
where do you see a sweet spot within this sector? Because there have been a lot of new companies that have come on, but there are some that are just bigger companies that have been in this sector for a while. Clearly, they're benefiting, but these smaller ones can sure get enticing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really break it down too much to the small companies. Now, the nice thing is if you understand how to sort and find the best relative strength stocks or sectors, like we can pull up all the EV ETFs, we can dump their holdings, all those individual stocks into our database, and it'll automatically do all the technical analysis, all the sorting, and rank them and say, hey, here are the top five or the top 10 EV stocks that are performing and that are showing all the characteristics of moving a lot higher. And that would be the way that I would probably attack it. But when it comes to names, I mean, I really only know Tesla and NIO or NIO, however you want to call it. I'm not into the individual stocks so much at this point, but it is amazing when you take some of these sectors and then that are doing really well, like HAIL or TAN or PBW, which is the clean energy. And when you rank their individual stocks, I mean, TAN moved 200% last year. If you look at their top five stocks, I mean, some of those are moving 800, 1200, 2500% in a year. So there's tons of potential, and it's really got my attention over the last year to go from the more conservative ETF play and start looking at some of these individual companies this year, because there's just so much money to be made. And when you can identify them, and I finally got the systems in place to be able to do that, it's definitely an eye opener. So the next time we talk, I will be looking into some individual stocks and we can look at some of these, but I don't know the names in the EV market so much off the top of my head yet.
Hey, fair enough. I've been doing some more digging into that sector because, look, there is interest in it. That interest seems sustainable, especially with the new administration. So there are still some opportunities there. And yeah, quite potentially still early on in that move. What about other metals and miners, say the precious metals? I know you cover those a lot for your subscribers, but precious metals, man, oh man, out of all the sectors, they've been largely forgotten over the past 6 to 7 months during this correction. I know price is still holding up at generally high historic levels, but the way that these markets are focused on make returns for me now, precious metals clearly have not been on investors' radar.
The whole fear of the, the world falling apart is kind of is over. And we had that big run in metals, early last year. And right now it's just people are excited about all these hot sectors. I mean, there's so many big moves going on as the sector sectors are rotating. I mean, we've got a new president and policies, taxes, plans. I mean, COVID continues to change the way the world works and technology. I mean, all this stuff is amazing and it's exciting and it's got people's attention away from big, boring gold and miners. And people don't seem to think the end of the world, you know, is just around the corner anymore. They're like, hey, put that on pause. I'm going to have fun with the stock market and until it gives me another reason to worry. And so that's where the market is. I mean, when you look at precious metals from a long-term standpoint, like a monthly chart or something like that, they're very bullish. But we're looking at patterns that where bull markets last several years and they can consolidate for several years. And, you know, this is going to be a slow play. I don't see precious metals so much as some huge explosive play at this point. It's building out a bull flag. I do think it's got a lot of upside potential. But right now, we need fear to hit the market in order to spark life back into that sector. And, you know, even the gold and silver miners, they're underperforming dramatically. There really isn't a point to be, you know, in them as a short-term trader right now just because they're trending lower. They're not a hot play right now. You can get into them when they do turn around and they show signs of being bullish. But right now, you need to focus on the sectors that are doing really well and picking up speed. I mean, there's a lot of cybersecurity, the HACK ETF. There's a lot of cybersecurity ETFs out there. I mean, there's so many interesting pockets. So getting into the mining is kind of dead money at this point. It'll come back to life when it proves itself. It's going to have, I think, a massive run late this year or sometime this year, hopefully. But there's no point in just locking your money up in it and just kind of riding that roller coaster. I would just hold back. And when it starts to break out and starts to run, that's when you can dump your money in and hopefully get like instant gratification and growth. But you got to be into tech right now. You got to be still looking at small caps. The small cap tech stocks are on fire. So that's the area to be.
Yeah, when you're actively managing your money, you do need to follow where that money's going. And kind of to your point, too, you don't need to pick a bottom or try to pick that bottom. You need to wait for some sort of a more sustainable upward trend to ride along, because these trends, at least recently, have been lasting quite a while and generating some nice gains. What about a final comment, though, Chris? A lot of people across the board are calling for a pullback in these markets. They point to a lot of valuation metrics as these markets are extended, overextended, historically overextended, but they're seeming to continue to hang up there. Where do you stand on that whole narrative of a pullback is more than due?
I agree. I think a pullback is more than due. I think it's going to be violent when it happens. How much will it fall? That'll be a pretty good question. I mean, I think we could see probably an 8 to 15% pullback. I think it could happen very quickly. But when is that going to happen? I don't know. We are starting to see some early signs. The VIX over the last several weeks or a month or so keeps having these quick spikes intraday, showing that people are getting sensitive. When there's a little bit of weakness and vibe in the market and the price action looks a little bearish, we are seeing people dump their shares. So it's very easy right now to spook them, but it hasn't led to any big dramatic sell-off yet. We are seeing money rotate into bonds. We're starting to see money rotate into utilities. Those two are just starting to come back to life. And typically, we see the volatility become sensitive. We see the bonds and utility ETFs start to build a base and start to move higher. The stock market can still move higher during this time, but that's our early warning sign that money is shifting slowly out of the stock market and into some of these defensive plays. And we got to be aware. We saw this last February when the market just before the market crashed. Utilities and bonds did very well. They rallied with the stock market, which people didn't realize. It was a huge red flag. And all of our intermarket analysis was screaming, hey, there's something really bad about to happen. And we were talking about this black swan event. Something bad was about to happen. And then COVID hit. So we're not there yet. We're starting to see signs. I would love to see a market correction. I'd love the market to reset, whether it's only for a few weeks or a couple of months. It's going to re-energize the market if it's going to keep going higher for a very big run going forward. So I'm excited. I'm going to embrace it if we get one. But at this point, we're still long stocks. Until we're told to get out by the charts, we're staying in.
All right. Well, Chris, I'll talk to you in another couple of weeks. We'll see if anything changes in the charts. But boy, oh boy, these markets continue to just hang up there and money continues to rotate. And that's really what continues to be the overall narrative for these markets. Chris, thanks for your time, buddy. I'll chat with you in another couple of weeks. Have a great rest of your week.
All right. Thanks, Corey. Take care. Appreciate it.